A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Proverbs 31:10. Welcome back to TNC's Summer Wisdom Series, where we've been discussing the book of Proverbs and how we can apply its wisdom to our lives today. This is the final episode in this series, and so it's only appropriate that we talk about the final chapter in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. This chapter gives us the epilogue of the entire book of Proverbs. We all know that an epilogue is a way of concluding a story and summarizing its meaning. So this final chapter serves as a summary of the entire book. But it's been my observation that that's not really the way Proverbs 31 is usually interpreted. A quick Google search on Proverbs 31 will turn up article after article on how to become a Proverbs 31 kind of woman. Titles like 10 Virtues of a Proverbs 31 Woman and 9 Lessons About Homemaking from Proverbs 31. There's even a Christian ministry specifically for women called, you guessed it, Proverbs 31. And if you're a Christian woman at some point in your life, you either have been or will be gifted with a little rustic wooden sign that quotes Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And so instead of seeing this concluding chapter of Proverbs as directing us all toward the path of wisdom, we tend to read it as a job description specifically for women. As a Proverbs 31 woman, you are expected to work vigorously all day and night for your family, waiting on everyone hand and foot, while also operating your own business and providing financially for the family. You must also be generous to the poor and serve your community. And you're expected to do it all with no rest while being kind to everyone and maintaining a perfectly dignified composure, never saying the wrong thing, never complaining, never running out of energy or patience. You are to be trustworthy and generous, resourceful and clever, business-minded and charitable, fearless and strong, but also gentle and kind. You are to be hardworking and endlessly busy, burning the candle at both ends. And if you do and are all of these things, you will be adored by your spouse, children, and community. You will be a godly woman. Sure, it's a pretty long list, but no pressure, ladies. Look, I'm not saying those qualities are bad. In fact, they're very, very good. And I'm not saying that we should not aspire to be godly women. We absolutely should. What I am saying is that Proverbs 31 is an epilogue, a finale, a reiteration of the importance of wisdom, not a to-do list for women. And if we read it wrong, it leads to problems. So, I want to mention some of those problems as I see it, and then suggest what I believe are more helpful takeaways from Proverbs 31. First, as I've already pointed out, if we read this proverb literally, like a prescription for how to be a godly woman, it can lead to feelings of frustration and failure. And this doesn't only happen to women or just with this particular proverb. In general, if the way you read the Bible or the way someone interprets the Bible for you leaves you feeling guilty, hopeless, judged, and just generally turned off by the message you're receiving, then you're probably getting the wrong message. It happens all the time. I know many Christians who have been turned away from their faith because of the judgment, hypocrisy, and rules they felt they had to follow, which didn't make any sense to them, didn't feel loving or life-giving, and so they walked away altogether. Which is sad, because someone told them that being a Christian was about doing and believing the right kinds of things, when the truth is, being a Christian is not about following certain rules and doing certain things, but living a certain kind of life. But that's a podcast for another time. Back to Proverbs 31. The truth is that many women do feel pressured and intimidated by that list of qualities describing how to be a godly woman. And by the way, this is just perfect timing to be talking about Proverbs 31, right on the heels of the Barbie movie premiere. Whether you're a fan of this movie or not, I'm not here to plug that movie or provide any commentary on it, except to mention a monologue where one of the characters talks about this impossible standard women feel held to. I know many women who feel that monologue is very relatable. It's the modern Proverbs 31. This pressure inevitably leaves us feeling like we are somehow deficient because we're incapable of achieving this level of perfection. And we'd be correct. It is an impossible standard because the Proverbs 31 woman is not a real woman. That is not what this concluding chapter of the book of Proverbs is about. It's not about literally running yourself ragged all day and night for your family and community and then spinning wool by candlelight all night. What it is about, as with the rest of the book of Proverbs, is how to gain wisdom. It's about living a life of service, and how we do that serving will look different depending on the scenario. That's where the wisdom kicks in, discerning what does love look like in this situation. In other words, Proverbs 31 is a praise for wisdom, not a prescription for women. Second, we have got to get beyond a shallow reading of Scripture. If we go deeper, we'll learn there is much more there than meets the eye. As we do with the Bible as a whole, we must keep Proverbs in its proper context. Remember that the book of Proverbs belongs in the category of ancient Jewish wisdom literature. It's poetry, and so its literary design and pattern has meaning and significance beyond a surface-level reading of the words. Without a deeper study of Scripture, how would we know that the Hebrew word for wisdom is feminine, which could be why wisdom is portrayed as a woman? Lady Wisdom is mentioned all throughout the Proverbs, many, many times. She shows up in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, and 9, over and over. And the point I'm making is that when we read about wisdom in the Bible, we should understand that wisdom is being personified as a woman. Not a literal human woman, but a literary device that illustrates what possessing the godly trait of wisdom looks like. It's trying to show us a deeper meaning. And knowing that fact should lead us to form a connection between the very specific Proverbs 31 woman and Lady Wisdom in general. When we read Scripture, we should train ourselves to look out for connections like that. It's like when you read an article online. It's embedded with all sorts of hyperlinks that can take you to related topics. That is how we are meant to read the Bible. Let me give you an example of this. I open this podcast by quoting Proverbs 31:10, the wife of noble character who is worth far more than rubies. You know who else is worth more than rubies? Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 3:15, verbatim. That connection is how we can know that there is more going on here than giving women instructions for how to behave. And so, Proverbs 31 is about choosing wisdom, not choosing a woman. And third, if this proverb is about how to gain wisdom, then certainly it's meant for everyone, not just women. But we assume the target audience for this poem is women, when in fact this proverb was not written to women at all. It was written to men, kings specifically. Proverbs 31 opens up with some advice from a king to his son, advice he learned from his mother. She tells him many things that will help him to live a better life, and one of the first things she tells her son is to watch out for distractions that can pull his attention from his calling, like too much alcohol or too many women. Instead, she instructs him to choose just one woman, the one priceless woman, Lady Wisdom. This isn't just a lesson for a king on how to reign over a kingdom and find a virtuous wife, but rather an illustration for us on how to live a good and meaningful life. But even though we know that the intended audience was men, many people will still prefer to read Proverbs 31 as some kind of checklist for how to be a good wife, or a list of the kinds of qualities you should look for in a good wife. But I think it's clear from the context of the entire book of Proverbs, and from the whole story of the Bible, that our number one priority should be to find wisdom. If the Bible instructs us to gain wisdom at all costs, and it does, and the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, which, by the way, does not mean to be scared of God, but to stand in awe of God, in holy reverence and submission to our Creator, then the wisdom we gain will lead us into a more fulfilling and meaningful life. In other words, Proverbs 31 is about pursuing an abundant life, not a virtuous wife. So hopefully I have made the case that Proverbs 31 is a praise for wisdom, not a prescription for women. It's about choosing wisdom, not choosing a wife. So now, TNC, let's commit together to pursue wisdom, for she is worth far more than rubies. Let's pray. God, I pray that this Summer Wisdom series has provided some encouragement for our TNC family and all those listening, that we would choose to trust in you with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding, but seeking your will in all we do. And thank you for giving us the book of Proverbs, for the wisdom we can find in its pages, and like the wise woman who builds her house in Proverbs 14, I pray that we will build our houses, our lives, on the foundation of wisdom and understanding, which flows from a life of following you and serving those around us. Help us to keep growing in wisdom and growing in our love for one another and for you, God. Amen.